Why, hello there, my fellow kings and queens. Welcome to the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast, where you will learn how to rule over your Dynasty League for years to come. Now, allow me to introduce you to your hosts.
Here we go, episode 132 of the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. Whoever you may be, however you may be listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, welcome in. We have the gang back together another week as we inch closer to the draft, 1 week away. Super Producer and Max are up in the land. I am in the dirtiest of New Jersey. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing good. Excited to be back. I took a little break off here, but I'm excited to chalk some fantasy football. I've been really tapped in recently. I'm also excited to trade with Peter, and I know we're going to get one done on the show here, and if not, I'll just be left disappointed and just won't happen. So,
Super Producer, how you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm locked in. I'm happy. You know, we get the gang back together. It's about a 2 week hiatus, I think, with all of us being off the show. So, dude, I'm locked in. I think we got a good one for the listeners here. We get to hold the listeners out yet again on the rankings. We're not doing the rankings, but I'm excited, dude. We're an inch closer to the actual NFL draft, and then we can start kind of getting into to rookie mocks and all that stuff with landing spots. So,
oh, it's going to be fascinating.
You're only growing by the day, man. It's insane. It's a great time to be a pick on.
So, Max, tell me something before we get into the episode.
Sure.
We're a week away from the draft by the time the listeners are hearing this. We'll probably do a little abbreviated podcast post-draft reactions, initial reactions like we did last year. I want one thing that you've learned over the course of this past year as it relates to fantasy football. Because the last time we were all together talking rookies and stuff like that was the draft last year. We were all together in Philly. I remember we were at the coffee shop outside having a conversation. You railed me on a trade. What's one thing you learned over the course of the past year?
Listen to your peers. Like, I think I was in a spot last year at this time where it's like I didn't know if I was going for it. I was kind of in the middle. I had no picks. I didn't have a good team. And I listened to Peter, actually. I never do that. But Peter's like, you got to tear it down. You got to rebuild. You got to get your pick back. You got to trade whatever it takes for it. And then once you do that, then you can make the necessary steps. So I think you just have to really look yourself in the mirror, really think about it and be like, hey, do I have a good team? Can I win? It depends if you guys have divisions and everything like that. But I mean, just really be honest with yourself and always try to get better. And I would also say, I used to be the biggest fan of just getting guys that were just really young. Like, oh, I'm going to get a bunch of really young, like, wide receivers that haven't hit yet, like Rashee Rice and Tank Dell and all these guys. But it's like, honestly, in order to, like, yes, you need some young players to keep it going. But you also need those Keenan Allens and Tyreek Hills and Travis Kelce's. I mean, Nick C can attest to that. Jace can attest to that. You need these veterans that you know what you're getting. So have that mixture of old and young.
Super Producer, after Max just listed 10 things for his one thing he learned this past year, can you try to come up with one?
Yeah, I can come up with one. And it's one that, like, I kind of already knew, but it made it more evident this past year, especially in our home league. But it's like in these leagues that you're in, you only have a 1 out of 10 chance, 1 out of 12 chance, 1 out of maybe 14 chance to actually win the league. I think that's a tough thing to kind of understand when you're going into the season. You're looking at your lineup, you're like, oh dude, my lineup is unbeatable. That's kind of what I was doing going into this past year in our home league. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to lose. Like, I feel like I got content during the middle of the season, kind of before the trade deadline, when I could have made maybe some moves that would have helped me out. But I was kind of just sitting there looking at my lineup. I got stuck just like, man, there's no one that's going to beat this team. Like, but I think that's the thing to realize. It's like you only have a 1 out of X number of people in your league's chance of winning, regardless of how stacked your team is. I mean, you could have a team with Breece Hall, Jonathan Taylor, like Andrew's team in our league. Yeah. I mean, and not win it. Like, he didn't win it last year and he had a nasty team. And it's like, I think that's the thing to realize, like, especially if your team might not be looking the best, going into the season or maybe even mid-season. It only takes a couple trades mid-season to really position yourself to where maybe your team doesn't look the best on paper, but you can actually put down the points when it matters and kind of make a run there. So I think that's kind of one thing that that I took away from the season.
And just kind of bouncing off that, Mr. C, like, honestly, once you get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter if you're the sixth seed or the one seed. As long as you have a seat at that table, you could have a guy like Mike Evans, who's been just terrible all year, go off for 50 points or whatever he did and win championships. So you just have to get there. You have to build a team. You have to know your league mates and buy at the right time, sell at the right times. I mean, Pete, what have you learned? It obviously doesn't seem like much because you don't have a championship yet, but would love to see what you've learned, you know.
You know what? Something that I always thought, I lived by like the Bill Belichick model where it was like, you'd rather get off a player a year early than a year late. And I think that led me to a lot of panicking and a lot of buying in young talent, like you mentioned. I think something that I've learned is to be more measured in my approach to trading. While it's nice to get value today for a player that you think is aging, it doesn't hurt to wait. But in a long-winded way, essentially, there's other people in your league, and you don't have to go and trade with the one guy just because it's convenient or it's easy. Give it that little extra bit of effort and see if you can squeeze something out.
But I will say this. Peter always tries to do that. Obviously, I don't think he's learned because he always tries to squeeze something out. And there's people that just, you know, when you try to squeeze a little too much and you get greedy, then they just take it back. I've seen it on Shark Tank. I've seen it in real life.
Just squeeze a little bit too hard on you sometimes.
It's just too much sometimes, you know. It's something that you don't need. But
you got to be gentle. Do I have to be gentle with you? You don't like getting squeezed too hard? All right. We got a great episode for you guys today. We're going to go over one report item that just broke. And then we have a team breakdown. My team is in shambles through a course of mismanagement, to be honest, and not deciding whether or not I want to be in or out this season. My team is left in no man's land, and the boys are going to give me some advice on how to get out of it. Before we get into the ep, wanted to give a shout out to our Twitter page at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. Let's get into this first note. All of my Gus Edwards shares have gone to the ground. Just kidding. I don't think so. J.K. Dobbins signing with the Chargers just breaking just moments ago before we started the show. I think it's very interesting. Going to be coming off that Achilles injury. We've seen his entire career just be plagued by injury. It's nice to know that he's going to go to an offense that will definitely utilize him in some respect, some avenue, but I don't think any hype will be worth it. Not worth more than a late second, in my opinion.
So what's Gus worth?
I'd say they're worth around the same, and I truly mean that. Gus has the age factor, but Gus has been more healthy. And then Dobbins is younger, but he has such a crazy injury history. I think they're worth around the same, like mid to late second.
Yeah, I agree. I would say like late second for both of them. I don't think I would be necessarily buying Dobbins off this news, but I'd be trying to sell him if I have him on any team. I'm just saying, give me a mid second and I'll just run to the bank and draft Trey Benson or something.
I don't know how you're going to tell me Gus Edwards is worth a late second when he is 29 years old. And I mean, he's never really had a good season besides last year when he just got touchdowns. I don't know.
And what do you think is going to happen this year in LA?
I just don't think so.
Let's look at it like this. And I think this is a nice way to evaluate it. Obviously, Derrick Henry is going to the Baltimore Ravens. Very interesting player to talk about this offseason. I love to understand his value. I don't think he's worth a first round pick. He's worth probably 201 to 204. In some leagues, I think that's kind of his fair value just off the rip. That's why I think the age is similar, but I think the touches will be just as significant for both of those guys within the goal line because Herbert's not going to steal those rushing touchdowns like Lamar. I can't see a world where neither of those guys are fantasy relevant. And by meaning fantasy relevant, I mean legitimate top 24 backs.
Yeah, you're talking about Derrick Henry, who's done it for years and years and years. Gus has never done that. I also think that J.K. Dobbins, being 25 years old, he hasn't played in a while. I do agree with that statement, but it's a one-year deal. If J.K. Dobbins goes out and has a prove-it year, and he goes out and balls out, and then next year gets signed to a team after he's balled out, to say he's only worth a late second is insane. So I would definitely be buying if that's the cost. But I would also be selling if people think he's worth a first now. So I don't know. I think he's really interesting, and I think it's a really good landing spot for him to prove it this year.
At this point, Gus Edwards is the only one to buy, like, for a late, like, if it's all that late second. I mean, dude, he had 13 touchdowns last year. And I get, like, I think I saw a breakdown of his 13 touchdowns. I think he only had three that were outside of the 1 or 2 yard line. But that's just going to show you, like, they're probably not going to give Dobbins the ball when it's those goal to go situations. It's probably going to be Gus Bus and he'll probably score the more points. I mean, Dobbins, I just don't have faith coming off that injury there. I mean, he went into the Chiefs building and then they re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire like the next day. So I think that should show you like where J.K. Dobbins is at right now.
All right, let's get into my team's breakdown. All right, shorter report section. We're into the team breakdown. We haven't done this one in a while. This team is the most important team that I own. Mike Vrabel Dynasty League, the most important dynasty league that I'm a part of, most important league, period, end of story. So it is 12 teams, half point PPR, 4 point passing touchdown, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, flex, kicker, defense, as traditional, you know, vanilla a league as you can possibly make it. And that's why I love it. I think it's just so standard. There's nothing crazy about it. Gentlemen, if one of you would feel so kind as to read off my team.
I will, and I'll also
I
start
know
you.
you'll relish in it.
I will relish in it. And it's like, I don't know, Pete. You say it's your most important league, but there's just been no steps to make it a better team. And that's why we're here to help, Pete. So if anyone wants a team breakdown or is listening, we're not going to be as hard as you as we are, Pete. Well, we will be, but you just won't see the criticism that I'm giving Pete on the air. But enough talking for me. This is about Peter. So Peter's team, Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Great quarterback. Latavius Murray and Cordell Patterson are his two running backs that he's starting right now. Jalen Waddle. He also has Chris Olave. He has Kyle Pitts, Christian Watson, Justin Tucker, Houston Texans defense. His bench is Sam Darnold, Jake Browning, Matt Breida, Royce Freeman, Gus Bus, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, Justin Shorter, Tyler Conklin, Harrison Bryant, Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Greg Dulcich, A.T. Perry, Xavier Gibson, Keenan Ngannou, and Jake Ferguson. And his picks, he has a first round pick next year, a third round pick next year, a first round pick the following year, and a second round pick the following year. So very slim on picks, but that's his team.
Initial reactions.
Like you said, PJ, at the start, it's like you don't necessarily know what direction you want to go right now. It seems like with this team, I mean, you have some solid players, some good young players, but honestly, like there's two moves for sure that I'm trying to make like right away. Like, number one, I'm just trying to decide, like, okay, I want a full rebuild. Like, if I had this team, I would just be trying to full rebuild. Like, as well, like in this league, I think it's important to note that there are four divisions. And you share a division with the team that just won the championship this past year, which is tough. I mean, probably have like a 2 year window where he might have like one of the better teams. So you have to just understand that, like, okay, Chase is in your division. You're probably not gonna have a nice window for at least 2 years. So number one, I'm trying to get my 2026 first round pick back. I'd be sending Waddle or Olave over for the pick and maybe another wide receiver if you can get it, like on top of the pick. Alex has your pick right now and he needs some wide receivers. Like, another point that I had in here was trade Jake Ferguson. His tight end situation is Darren Waller. So if you threw like Waddle I'd probably be trying to trade Waddle over Olave, but if you have like Waddle and Ferguson for your 26 first and like a wide receiver or some other type of draft capital, that would be a move I'm trying to make just to get my 2026 pick back. And then you can kind of do it that way. Another one as well that I'm trying to do is trade Jalen. Like, I'm trading Jalen for just draft capital. Like, if I can get a first and a second round pick any year, I'm doing that. Like, you got to do that kind of trade or to get like a young wide receiver, but I'm preferably just trying to hunt draft capital from anybody. Even if it's 2026 pick, I mean, hey, just go into the season with Daniel Jones, or like if it comes down to it and Jones ends up not the starter for some reason, just send a third round pick for another starting quarterback or wait till somebody gets dropped. But I think those are like two of the main moves that I would be trying to do. But I think it more comes down to just a mindset shift of like what you want to do with this team. Like, and for me, it would just be rebuilding. But Max, I don't know what your thoughts are there. I kind of talked a lot, but
I think that there's a lot to talk about. I mean, you just look at this team, like there's all of four players that have value and everyone else, like you could probably drop and not many people would bat an eye. I mean, Christian Watson, I guess people would, but he's like the third best wide receiver in a crowded offensive room. In my opinion, I think Dobbs and Reed are better than him and have put up better numbers than him. And he also can't stay healthy. So like your flex is weak there. I think Kyle Pitts could have a good year, but we haven't seen it from him in a long time. Obviously Kirk Cousins is going there, but yeah, I agree with Nixie's moves there. Like you have to trade Jalen Waddle or Chris Olave. I would trade Jalen Waddle because he's older than Chris Olave. And he's also the wide receiver number two on his team. Pete, I tell you this. And like, when I say this to you on the phone, like I do mean it, but here I even mean it as well, where it's like, you got to come down on your values of these guys, man. Like Jalen Waddle is not worth 2.5, 3 first as a wide receiver two on his own team.
He's not worth 2.5, 3. He's probably worth 2.
Even that's pushing it. Like he's probably worth 1.5, 2 because of just how many wide receivers there are in his age range, one, his contract, his situation. Like you're not getting a guy that's going to be like an alpha number one on his team. You know, like you're getting a guy that's competing for targets with Tyreek Hill, which is really tough to do. Olave, like keep Olave. He's great. 23 years old. He's probably worth 2, 2.5. Waddle's probably worth 1.5, 2. And the move that Nixie alluded to as well, you have to trade Jalen. Like Jalen does nothing for this team. If I'm you, Peter, I'm rebuilding. I'm trading Waddle. I'm trading Jalen. I'm trading anything I can just to get picks and younger players. Like you don't need Jalen Hurts. You go out, roll out Daniel Jones, roll out the no running backs that you have, get 101 next year, and then trade it for a haul. It's the same thing that I did this year, and I feel like I've rebuilt at a lot faster pace. Yes, you have those big names, and I fell in the same bucket, Pete, of like, oh, I'm going to try to get Waddle, Olave, Addison, Chase Jeffersen, and Breece Hall, Jonathan Taylor, and like build this super team. The only way that you're going to do that is if you have the draft picks to draft them on originally, because people aren't going to trade them. Where it's like, yes, you can trade. Like, I have a trade over in your inbox right now that I'm surprised hasn't been accepted. You can tell the listeners about it. But like, I don't think Jalen Waddle's worth 104. Like, I'd rather have Rome Odunze than Jalen Waddle just because of we don't know what Rome could be. And if Rome hits, he'll be worth a lot more than Jalen Waddle's max value right now. I think Jalen Waddle's value has peaked at that point. So I don't know, Pete. I think you have to trade Waddle. I think you have to trade Jalen. And with that being said, I have a trade over in your inbox that has both of those guys in it. So
I do have one more too that as you were kind of talking, I was thinking about, and like Kyle Pitts to me in this type of build would be almost an untouchable guy. But I think the only situation where I would see trying to trade Pitts is like, let's say through 5 or 6 weeks, he's the tight end 1 or 2 on the season. Then I think I'm trying to trade him away for an absolute haul, get 3 first round picks, and then you could sell it like, oh, this dude's the tight end 1 for the next 8 years, which he might be, but it's like, that would be the only other area to kind of make up a ton of extra capital on your end and maybe get like a lesser tight end attached to the deal. But just kind of spitballing stuff of where you can kind of take advantage with the players that you have here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting kind of how everything fell, because I did have a super team, right? And it, Max, I know you're smirking, but a year ago today, if we look at it, we were talking at that coffee shop and I made a really bad trade. And I got pressured into it by Max. And I traded for the 102 because I thought I needed to trade Davante Adams. And I needed to trade Stephon Diggs. And I needed to get younger. And XYZ. And to see where my team is now, I think in my heart of hearts, I know it can compete if I make the correct moves. But it is a narrow tightrope walk. The safer bet would definitely be to just tear it down and then rebuild it up again. But I want to talk to you guys first and hear if you can see any path for this team to compete, given the resources that I currently have. I feel like I'm missing one wide receiver extra, not trading away and just getting the same wide receiver back. I need one extra wide receiver for depth, and I would probably need two running backs to be able to healthily compete, not compete for a championship, but just healthily compete.
Even then, you still only have four wide receivers. If you get an extra wide receiver and then you count Christian Watson as a wide receiver.
Christian Watson is the best receiver on that team.
He's not.
He is. And you'll see it. You'll see it this year.
Okay. I hope I'm wrong. But then you only have two running backs and Gus Edwards. So it's like you need at least, I think, to be able to say you're a competitor, I think you need to have 4 to 5 running backs and 5 to 6 wide receivers with 1 to 2 tight ends, which you have 1 to 2 tight ends right now. And just divest in quarterback. Like, I don't think, yes, Jalen's great. We've been over this story before. I told you this on the phone last night. I'd rather have Goff and Kirk Cousins for 2 seconds than to pay 2 firsts for Jalen Hurts. I'd rather have that depth, that quarterback, and they're going to put up again similar numbers.
Yeah,
they don't put up similar numbers.
Goff finishes Jalen quarterback outscores 10.
Jalen outscores them insanely, but
if you were trying to compete, I don't think. I mean, like Max said, 4 running backs. I mean, I think it would be fair. Like, if you added 3 more running backs and had Gus as like the 4th guy, just to have bodies, and then maybe another vet receiver. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to like, okay, maybe the moves you make are, is Jalen for a different quarterback and like 2 kind of vet running back guys who maybe aren't the best. I don't really know what a trade looks like. I'm trying to look around the league to see, but it would have to be a trade like that where you tear down maybe significantly a quarterback and maybe not even get the best guys in return at running back. But I just struggled to see, unless the team is a locked and loaded competitor, who's going to give up the running back depth at this point, because it seems like that's the hardest thing. I mean, me and Max can both attest to it. It's like people do not want to trade running backs in this league at all, regardless of who they are. So, I mean, I feel like that's the avenue, maybe adding Ferguson, because you really don't need a second tight end, but Ferguson has to be the trade bait. Jalen has to be the trade bait there. And maybe you could get somebody to buy in on the Waddle hype and maybe get like a veteran, like maybe 2 veteran wide receivers, like ish, that are probably going to produce just about the same as Waddle, because he really hasn't produced crazy the past 2 years, but well, the past year. I mean, he was top 10 wide receiver, I guess, 2 years ago, but
yep, top 10.
And Pete also, but, I mean, if you, oh, sorry, Mr. C.
No, you're good. I was going to say, maybe you could get somebody to bite on that. I mean, it's not like it's not a narrative, because I do think Waddle's talented for sure, but people have a ton of recency bias.
Only guy that cooks the Jets defense. Only guy. Tyreek Hill can't cook the Jets defense. Waddle somehow finds a way.
Well, I think that another topic here while we're on the Jalen Hurts train is Jalen Hurts finished quarterback 2 last year. Jared Goff finishes quarterback 7.
But what's the difference in points? It's not about
54 points, where it's like, if you break that up over 18 weeks, we're talking 2 to 3.
It's not 18 weeks.
17 weeks, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter to me, where it's like, I would rather have Goff for a second and then go out and get a what. If you value Jalen at 2, and let's say 2 seconds equal a first, then I'd rather go out and get a wide receiver that's worth 1.5, like, I mean, T. Higgins, Waddle, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, whoever it
DK
is.
Metcalf.
Sure, DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf and Jared Goff for Jalen Hurts. I'd rather the DK Metcalf and Jared Goff signs team.
See,
because you
see, Max, and that's where it's annoying to me, because I offer you Jalen for DK, essentially, as an extra add-on on our deal, but you say no.
Because I'm not – again, we just went over this. I don't want to invest in quarterbacks like that, Peter. I don't want to pay who first for Jalen Hurts to put up barely more points than a quarterback that's worth a second-round pick with Kirk Cousins or Jared Goff. I would rather have DK Metcalf. And that's the tough part. And it's like we talked about it as well on the phone. And it's some insight for the listeners. But, like, no one's trading running back where it's like – especially young running back. I mean, you can't get Gibbs for even probably 4 firsts, I would have to say. Or Breece Hall. I mean, maybe 4 firsts. That's a lot. But he's got to be worth at least 3. But what I'm saying is, like, then you're going to go and tell people that, like, have running back, they're actually willing to trade them, like myself or Driscoll or whoever it might be, that their running backs aren't valuable. Like, Javonte Williams, I don't care how many snaps he's played, to be honest with you. And he's 23 years old and a free agent next year. He's not worth a second-round pick, Pete. To get a running back is a scarce position, especially this offseason. And this draft is not very sturdy on running backs as well. So you're going to have to overpay for running backs if you want to compete, but I think that's not the route you want to go.
So I do have one trade that I just found, and you may be able to get like more from a different trade partner, but I'm just spitballing right now for a trade with Jalen in it. So it's like maybe sending Jalen for Jordan Love and like Zamir White. Like Zamir White right now, he's penciled in as like the number one running back there in Las Vegas. Jordan Love scored, I think it was 3 points less per game than Jalen in this league format. So it's like, it doesn't sound great, right? But if Zamir White has a top 12 running back finish and Jordan Love has had a top 10 finish, you're probably better off than just having Jalen if you are trying to compete, right? I mean, you might be able to get a better deal with like maybe some more depth guys from somebody, but it's like you're going to have to tear down way more at quarterback. It's going to be one of those ones where you don't think it's a great trade on paper, but it just gives you more depth pieces to play with. Like if you truly are trying to compete, like it's going to have to be one of these ugly deals, sadly, because I don't think many people are going to pay that premium, you know, but
I think the way that I'm trying to look at it is it's not about winning this year. I know I have the assets invested in Olave. I have the assets invested in Waddle. I have the assets invested in Pitts, Jalen. I have the quote unquote value. There is value on my team, but it's about getting the jigsaw puzzle correct, if that makes sense, and moving the pieces around to make that value not necessarily win this year, but I want to be a competitor for this, the following season, not 2024 season. The 2025 season is when I can see myself really establishing as one of the top four. And it's about the moves that I want to make this year to get to that point. That's why I thought investing in Jalen was a good idea, because if I was able to get him now, then I would already have the established quarterback who probably won't lose value the following years. That's why I invested in Olave, because by the time XYZ, he is going to be primed. That's why I invested in Waddle, because by the following season, Tyreek Hill might be moving on with his deal because he said he didn't want to play past 30. You know, a lot of these guys would be winding down by the time my window would be starting up, but it's about running back. I feel like everything would be so different if I had 2 good running backs.
Yeah, I mean, most teams would be pretty different.
There'd if
be...
ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right, Max?
Yeah, and like, I get we only have a minute left before this cuts off here, but when you look around the league, like, Andrew has Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, and Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. Alex has Patrick Mahomes. Kevin has Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith. Kevin could use quarterback, like I've told you before. Mike Wacko has Lamar. Nick C has Josh Allen. Mason has Joe Burrow. Jace has Kyler Murray and CJ Stroud. Driscoll has Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. So it's like these guys, and then it's like up here, we have Jordan Love, and then Mort has Russell Wilson, Anthony Richardson, Aaron Rodgers, like, and then I have Justin Herbert. No one's going to pay up for a quarterback when you look around the league. No one really needs quarterback therapy besides one person.
All right, guys, to get to the second half of my team breakdown, we wanted to start off with a trade. So, Max, let the people know what I offered you.
Peter offered me, I have my counter cooked up, but I'll back out. Herbert, I send Herbert, Javonta Williams, Trey McBride, and 104. And in return, I get Hurts, Waddle, Pitts, Wandale Robinson, and a third and a second. I think Hurts is worth more than Herbert. I think 104 is worth more than Waddle. I have McBride over Pitts. And I don't think Javonta equals Wandale Robinson in a second. So I had a counter. And it's just tough because if I trade Javonta, then I'm left with literally one backfield. And I would only have Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson, which isn't bad. But running backs are near damn impossible. And I'd have no draft capital go out and get running backs. So with that being said, I'm going to counter Peter. And instead of Wandale Robinson and the second, I will take Christian Watson instead.
I can't. He's the wide receiver one on that team, no matter what anyone says. I just know that this is his Davante year. This is his Davante Adams level year in Green Bay.
Okay. If you want to keep Watson, that's fine, Peter. I was prepared for that. I think he's an average wide receiver. I let you keep the second and Wandale. I don't think he's worth more than the second. But Mr. Pete, if you want to keep Watson, then I will take out the draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so take out the second and the third and throw in Jake Ferguson and it's done. I think that has to be my counter. Like a second and a third probably equals Ferguson.
Mr. C, what are your thoughts on the deal? If we could get a comprehensive list of each side.
I'm giving up Herbert, Javonte Williams, Trey McBride, and 104. Peter's giving up Hurts, Waddle, Pitts, and then Ferguson and Wandale Robinson. Basically how it's broken down, I have 104 over Waddle, Trey McBride over Pitts. Both of those are close. Hurts over Herbert. I think that's around a second in value. And then I think Javonta's got to be worth Jake Ferguson and Wandale Robinson at least. So, yeah.
It's a really close trade, bro. I don't know. I mean, either side, I could see where the value is. I mean, that's a tough one, man.
Here, Mr. C, do you think it helps me walk that tightrope? That's the best question. Because I don't want to tear it down. I already had a full year where I was not competitive. And I understand at some point you got to rebuild. And I took my lumps for a year, and it sucked. And I got the number one overall pick, helped myself get some value with these players. But does this trade help me walk that tightrope to being able to compete, maybe not this year, but be able to be in the hunt, whether or not I'm a favorite to win next year?
It depends what you do with 104, Pete. That's the golden question. I mean, if 104 hits, if it's Roma Dunze or Brock Bauer, whoever the hell it is, or Brian Thomas goes to Buffalo, whoever it is, if that hits and that pick becomes like the next Garrett Wilson and whatever it is or whoever, then you win the trade. And yes, you walk that tightrope, in my opinion, because then you get a running back in Javonta, you get an upgrade at tight end. And I don't really feel like you're losing much in Ferguson and Wandale, in my opinion.
I feel like making this trade would help you out this year. If you do this trade, it's like, then it's maybe you ship Javonte off. Or, I mean, if you're really trying to go for it a little bit this year, I just don't see why it makes sense to be in the middle. And like, unless you're planning on, okay, then you move 104 for like a crazy haul. But Max obviously hasn't been able to move 104, so nobody wants it. But it's like
people, the answer is people will want it because 1, 2, and 3 are locked in, right? Mm-hmm. Essentially 1, 2, and 3 are locked in. It's gonna be Harrison, Neighbors, and Bowers in our class. And then that fourth pick can either be a Dunze or a hype running back, a hype wide receiver, and the pick will only grow in value. I don't know why Max is particularly trying to let go of it right now, but I do think that the pick right now is probably worth 2 firsts, and I could see it gaining maybe a second round pick in value.
So I guess I can't sway you one way or the other, and it's tough for me to say which side I would want, but it's like it comes down to, okay, if you do this trade, then you're kind of like in the middle for this year and have to try to make some more moves to try and win, right? I mean, you're going to have to move 104.
Either way, he's in the middle.
My whole concept where I want to be is I want to be in a position to strike next year, not this year, next year. Because I think people that go from insane rebuilder, like where I have nothing, it's impossible, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely impossible to be competitive the following year. And you need that transitional year where you are kind of in the middle, but still not winning. And that's where I want to be. I want to be where my team is good. I have young players, and maybe I finish anywhere from 4 to 7 in the league. And then the following year be really in the hunt.
Peter, I mean, based off our conversation here and what
and
you
4 to 7 means in the draft order, obviously not fourth overall, like fourth best team to seventh best team. All right. I've had a lot of deliberation, a lot of thought. I've mapped it out, and it's 6.25 firsts on my end, 6.25 firsts on Max's end. So within the margin of error and any given variance on any given day, I think it is a fair deal. And the question is whether or not I think it's good for my team. I think the pick and the value of the pick growing and potentially trading it or selecting and trying to, you know, win the lottery can really help me. So I think I'm going to do the deal.
I'm glad we could trade, Peter.
I'm glad that we could too. It's been a long time coming to try to get a deal done that I felt comfortable with. I love Herbert, and I think that he is going to go absolutely nuclear. And the biggest talking point here that people aren't understanding, the Arizona Cardinals are not going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I really don't think they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they're going to trade out of that pick and get a haul. That's the way that GM thinks. And they might draft a different receiver, but knowing the talent and what that would have done to Trey McBride, that hurts. So I think since they're not going to do that and they might get a different receiver XYZ, I still think McBride's going to be a factor and an elite factor next year. And that was a big reason why I wanted to make the trade, because I think there might be a tiny little lull in McBride's value.
I'm happy with it. You know, but essentially you can call Pitts and whatever, you cancel out the quarterbacks, cancel out the tight ends. I think I'd rather have Waddle and Ferguson and Wandale Robinson over 104, just because it is a proven asset. But I do see your side too of where 104 could grow, and it could grow in value. And especially it's going to hurt me. Like you know me, Pete, I'm an addict. I'm going to find a way to get back in that first round before the draft next week. So I don't know what that is, what that's being said, but I'm going to have to find a way, because it's just more fun to have a pick. So I'm happy for you.
It's going to be nice to be in Detroit with some skin in the game. Mr. C, any final thoughts on the live trade we just did?
Hey, man, it's a good trade. Thought it was pretty fair. You know, I could see on your side taking it, kind of having that 104 value, be able to fluctuate, go up and down is kind of the risk you needed to take, kind of instant gratification there in a week. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how you are kind of viewing your team and kind of the subsequent trades to fall from that. I will be very interested, and we'll be waiting with bated breath, PJ.
All right. That's good. Max, really quick, who are you texting?
I'm just changing Jake Ferguson's nickname.
To?
Fergalicious.
Fergalicious. All right. This was a Fergalicious episode of the Dynasty Monarchy podcast. Again, thank you so much for staying to the end and kind of helping me on my journey to recovering my once incredible team that I kind of squandered away through not listening to my own advice. So thank you, gentlemen. You can follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. We will see you next week with a post-NFL draft episode after that Thursday. It's going to be insane. We're going to be there in Cleveland. Sorry, we're going to be there in Detroit. We'll be in Cleveland for the weekend. If any of you listeners are from Detroit and want to meet up at the draft, say something on Twitter. We will be there. See you next week for a post-draft reaction. Gentlemen, it's finally here.
Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. Fancy some fantasy advice? Tweet or DM at Dynasty Monarchy on Twitter. Until next time, farewell, my fellow kings and queens.